This is All of It. I'm Carrie Nolan, filling in for Allison Stewart. Now, before the break, we were talking with the NYC plant doctor, Dr. Chris, about keeping your gardens and your houseplants healthy through the spring bloom. Now we turn to the idea of keeping our parks and green spaces healthy amid a changing climate. Last year, the Central Park Conservancy opened a climate lab that uses the park to gather data about how climate change is impacting our area and how parks can actually be used as tools to protect the city from some of the conditions that climate change will bring, including flooding, heat waves, and threats to our local biodiversity. And after a year of getting that research underway, we wanted to check in on the Climate Lab to see what they've learned over the past year and what they'll be trying to learn in the years to come. Michelle Muller-Gamez is the Central Park Conservancy's Manager of Climate Change Research. She joins us now to talk about it. Hey, Michelle, welcome to All of It.
Hi, Carrie. Nice to be here.
Michelle, help us kind of orient ourselves to your expertise. What does it look like to do the work you do? I mean, what are you looking at? What are you looking for? And what kind of information are you hoping to pull out from all those observations?
Well, I'm an urban planner, so I have a background in understanding how the built environment kind of impacts the natural world and the environment that we live in day to day. And I'm based at Central Park Conservancy, but I work in partnership with the Yale School of the Environment and a local nonprofit called Natural Areas Conservancy, who really works in partnership with the Parks Department to steward the natural areas of New York City. Those are our forests, our wetlands, and kind of those areas that are not just maintained lawns with trees. And so we're really trying to understand both the mitigation effects that green spaces have on kind of reducing the impacts of climate change, and then also the adaptation. So how green spaces can help us adapt and really continue and hopefully improve our how we live our day-to-day lives in the future. So that's through cooling and reducing the risk of stormwater flooding through green spaces.
I want to open up. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I wanted to open the phones to our listeners. If you have questions about how climate change is impacting our parks or how our parks could help us blunt the impacts of climate change, give us a call, 212-433-9692. That's 212-433-WNYC. You can also tweet or DM us on Instagram at allofitwnyc. Michelle, part of your work is about protecting parks from climate change, and part of it is using parks to help the area as a whole deal with the impacts. Do you see these things as two separate lines of inquiry, or do you think about how they're related? Are they intertwined?
I think they're completely intertwined. So, you know, we want healthy, thriving parks with lots of vegetation that has really rich biodiversity and kind of a really strong ecological system that's functioning so it can be resilient in the face of climate change. And so I really see them as connected. We want to make sure that we have healthy forests, healthy meadows, healthy lawns so that they are better able to stand and kind of contribute to that. So we're really looking at this from both lens. And so we're seeing kind of these negative impacts on our parklands, like extreme wind events that are occurring more frequently, perhaps periods of droughts that might make our tree canopy more susceptible in the future. We're losing a lot of days that are below freezing, which are really important to kind of kill pests or anything that might attack our urban forest. And so we really want to consider what species we're planting and kind of the composition of our forests and our natural areas and also our parkland so that it can be able to withstand some of those threats in the future to provide some of those ecosystem services that we get from green spaces in the city.
There was an article in 2021 on the Conservancy's website that discusses the relationship between parks and park maintenance and the natural rhythms of the season. And what happens is, as those cycles, you know, are changing shape, you just referenced a real lack of weather below freezing in the winter. On the whole, it really has been unseasonably warm. I mean, no discernible snow except for that one day, and then that melted. What does that mean for the parks, as you've observed?
Yeah, I think some of our staff are trying to understand what tree species to plant, what might be more resilient in this kind of new, unpredictable climate. So maybe looking at species from the southern, we call them plant hardiness zones. So there's, a zone that's right below New York. And so maybe pulling species that are really doing well and we're observing that are doing well and planting those. And then also, it's kind of shifting how park staff are working on a day-to-day basis. I did an interview with some interviews with some staff at Central Park Conservancy with folks who have lived or worked here for over like 10 years, and they were saying that, maybe they were working in the park in the winter and they were digging into the ground, and usually it would be not pliable. It would be really firm. And at the in the past few winters, they've been able to dig. They're seeing plants emerge at different times. I think with lawn care, it's been really hard not having the snow cover because then the lawns get more use, and it can make them harder to be prepared for the spring. So I think it's really just kind of shifting park operations, but there are things that urban park land managers can do to prepare for it. And I think, at the Climate Lab, we're just trying to bring some of that knowledge together and share it with other park managers.
My guest is Michelle Mueller-Gomez, and she's the Central Park Conservancy's Manager of Climate Change Research. We're talking about how climate change is impacting those large green spaces, the New York City parks, parks all over the country. When the Climate Lab, Michelle, was first getting underway, you did a Q&A on the Conservancy's website where you mentioned how much you love the Jamaica Bay Wildlife Refuge, which is a very different type of green space from, say, Central Park. And those areas are both massive, and that's compared with a lot of the city's smaller sort of neighborhood pocket parks. Can you give us, I guess, a survey of the kinds of green spaces that are part of these urban design questions about the future of the climate?
I love that you brought that up. Jamaica Bay is such an inspiration for me, but and maybe I would call that a blue green space. And so, yeah, I think the way we talk about it is different cover types within the urban landscape. And so, you might have a water body, which is a cover type. You might have a marshland, which is a cover type. Forested areas. You might have maintained lawns with trees, grasslands, meadows. Different scales of park. You mentioned we might have pocket parks, maybe something like Madison Square Park, and then we have Central Park, 800 acres, Van Cortlandt Park in the Bronx, which has a rich forest. And all of these serve different purposes. So I think about kind of Jamaica Bay as really protecting the houses that are on Long Island and also New York City. The marshland kind of acts as a buffer from the threat of extreme storm events that might come to the city. And they're facing different climate change issues than we are. They're facing sea level rise and kind of a loss of marsh landscape. Whereas some of the street trees or the pocket parks are really important in reducing energy usage during the summer because of their shading and cooling benefits through evapotranspiration. And so that can reduce our energy demand, and it also can just improve the quality of life and reduce risk of mortality caused by heat. And then some of these large parks, and these forested areas, we really consider those the lungs of the city. And one of the studies we did last summer with Natural Areas Conservancy was to deploy air temperature sensors between these different cover types. And we learned that the forested landscapes on during one of the peak heat wave days was 10 degrees cooler than an air temperature sensor that was placed below a street tree. And so we really want to think about scale when we're in urban planning and preserving those large natural areas because they really can help us adapt to warmer temperatures.
Are there any climate impacts that you think it's fair to say are likely to become a problem for all parks, or are they each, is each space just too unique?
No, I think there certainly our climate change impacts will impact all parks. Generally, plant stress and mortality is what we're really concerned with. A lot of the climate change models that give advice to land managers are based outside of urban context, so kind of rural, large forested areas. And we know that in the urban environment, our trees and vegetation are stressed by a variety of factors that maybe those models don't have to take into effect. So we have the urban heat island effect. So the temperatures are actually warmer, and that impacts our vegetation as well as us. Cities are also the origin source for invasive species. So they're kind of the front line in encountering those. Our landscapes are fragmented, so our vegetation, especially in forested areas where it's naturally regenerating, perhaps those seeds can't move quite the same distance, or they're fragmented by the urban landscape. And then, also just wear and tear from just human use. So soil compaction can kind of like compound with soil compaction and trash can kind of compound with the threats of climate change. So I really think like plant stress and mortality, extreme windfall or windfall events and loss of tree canopy, and just general loss of biodiversity, those are all threats across all of our parklands.
You spoke briefly about invasive species, and it's getting on to the time of the year when a lot of insects are, waking up from wherever they've been over the winter. Are we likely to see more problems with that with the lanternflies?
I'm not an expert in spotted lantern flies, but I would say, the invasive species come to us through transportation connections and through just our economy and how it's structured. So it's a little separate from climate change, but I think, if we're not having days below freezing, we might be creating an environment where they can thrive. And so we also want to make sure that our forests are have a lot of diversity, so that if one species is attacked, then we have other species that can kind of come in and take the place. So that's kind of how I think about that.
Well, we pulled some of the Conservancy's articles about the ecology of Central Park, for example. If you could explain how they fit into the Climate Lab's work, say in the water features, you've been tracking algae blooms. What's the cause of that problem, and what are the solutions?
Sure. Yeah, the algae blooms are interesting. It's certainly climate change and warmer temperatures are exacerbating it, but it's really from the water supply. So we have high concentrations of phosphorus in our water, and so when we're having higher temperatures and more nutrients is build up. But we're looking at solutions, and we're talking about potentially having floating wetlands and using plants to kind of uptake that extra nutrients, and then also looking at other kind of like non-chemical based solutions, like using just like filters to get some of that out of there.
What about birds and butterflies and other migratory wildlife? How have they been impacted by climate change as we're seeing it? And also, are there ways that a more biodiverse ecosystem is a better buffer against its impacts?
Certainly, I think the Audubon Society has a lot of data on how bird migratory patterns are shifting. But here at Central Park, we've really worked hard in the last 20 to 30 years to restore our wooded areas, so the Ramble and the North Woods, and we're actually seeing an increased presence in multiple species, and really seeing it as a refuge for the flight path. So I think it's something we got to keep monitoring.
A lot of climate change discourse involves, images of apocalyptic weather events. And to be sure, extreme weather is one consideration. But one of the real threats of climate change are the long-term public health impacts. How do you see your role and the role of parks as matters of public health?
Certainly. I mean, we want really rich parks that are full of trees and healthy vegetation so that we can reduce the risk of heat mortalities and provide cooling, but also, these other benefits that we get from green spaces, like reducing kind of air pollution, and then just providing recreational space and mental health refuges for folks. And You know, something I think about a lot is just equity in our work. We know that parks are severely underfunded in New York City, and we know that a lot of parks in the outer boroughs or in communities of color have less resources. Perhaps they don't have a conservancy to support some of the work and the needs. So really, this is a matter of environmental justice. We want to make sure that all of our boroughs are adequately covered in tree canopy and have a park space for folks to go to.
In a Q&A recently, you discussed the importance of engaging the public in this work. You shout out birders and arborists and other amateur naturalist types. How does the Climate Lab, in what way does the Climate Lab rely on the public's help?
Certainly. I mean, I think, you know, I think outside of just like the research that we're doing, I think as citizens, we really...
Uh-oh. It looks like we may have
our advocacy resources out. Can you hear me?
Yes, we do. It just dropped out for a second. It's all good. We were talking about in the ways that the Climate Lab relies on the public's help.
Great. So I think, you know, the research, we're not really directly reaching out to get help on that, but we are looking for help on just stewarding our natural resources. So getting folks out there to volunteer, you know, New York City Parks is a great program where you can become a citizen pruner and really take care of some of those street trees that have direct impacts with folks. And then also just becoming a big advocate for funding for parks.
You also shouted out artists. What's the role of art in public green spaces when it comes to climate change?
Yes, I think that there's a lot of fear around climate change. There's a lot of hopelessness or kind of lack of power in our ability to make change. And so I think that art has a really important part in kind of providing a space for folks to convene and maybe even take humor in the crisis, or just a space for reflection to bring us all together and maybe provide us an opportunity to feel a little less hopeless through art. So I'm always looking for artwork that can kind of reflect on the history of place and kind of place us in context.
Most of our parks were designed many, many, many years ago. What would be different about our parks today if they were designed with the climate change in mind from the jump?
For sure. I've been getting into the history a little bit of Central Park and how Frederick Law Olmsted's design and what the landscape looked like before. And, you know, it was a marshy landscape on the north end. Actually, the East River kind of connected where the Harlem Mirror is. And so that was a wetland area. And then there were some streams that used to run through it. And in the construction of the park, that landscape was severely modified. The lakes were built, streams were widened, soil was brought in from New Jersey, and forests essentially were cut down to create lawn spaces. And so, you know, there are new parks being constructed, and I think if we had the opportunity to look back at the landscape, maybe we would have preserved it more as a natural area with some nice trails to go through. But, the reality is we all love having green spaces so that are accessible. So I think maybe a hybrid would be a hybrid where we restored, we maintain some of those natural ecosystems, but also allowed access. And I think New York City is really interesting in the design world around parks, because a lot of it is kind of rehabilitating infrastructure or past land uses and kind of restoring some of those ecosystems that existed before. And so we can look to other spaces in New York, like Brooklyn Bridge Park or the Hudson River Park, who are kind of trying to emulate some of those natural systems. And here at Central Park, you know, we're doing a fun
I'm afraid
pilot.
We have this is where we have to leave it.
That's okay. I'm sorry.
No, that's great.
More to come.
Yeah, more to come, definitely. Michelle Muller Gomez is the Central Park Conservancy's manager of climate change research. Thanks so much for being with us. All of It is produced by Andrea Duncan Mao, Kate Hines, Jordan Loff, Simon Close, Zach Goddard Cohen, El Malik Anderson, and Luke Green. Our intern, Kat St. Martin, Megan Ryan's the head of live radio. Our engineers are Juliana Fonda and Jason Isaac, and Luscious Jackson does our music. I'm Carrie Nolan. Thanks for sticking around today.